So just in terms of practical teaching here, this is about how the preparation related to liberation has to be enacted, and the idea of taking the blood and putting it on the doorposts and the lintel. So the blood being the innocence, holy truth, from the good of innocence is what it's described as. And by holy truth, like that seems to be a very similar idea to Holy Spirit. And so that speaks of that which comes forth from the Lord in terms of the influence of good and truth, so far as the regeneration of the human mind is concerned. And so that innocence that's being spoken of, often we can think of innocence as just this really holy thing. And it is. Like, I'm not saying that it's not that. But the kind of innocence being spoken about here, which is to be totally accepting that the Lord is the only self and that we derive our sense of self from him. So if that is something worked into our life, then we are then in a state of, on some level, of being willing to be led by the Lord, by the word. That's what innocence is, a laying down of being led by ourselves so that we can be led by the Lord. So if you think about this work and the battle we have in terms of allowing the text to frame and govern and move the process forward in our life, when we are in that state, a willingness to be led, then insights come from the word that affirm the truth that's here. And that truth that relates to our more interior life has to be brought down and placed upon those structures at the level of the sensuous corporeal level. So what is born of praxis has to come down and govern right to the very external. And so it's understanding the word in the light of its application to states of mind, that is the protection element, because that is what can stand against the sense of self rising up to claim authority and a denial of the Lord's authority. Yeah, so it becomes illustrated in 7849, where it talks about the case herein is this. When those who before the Lord's coming had been detained in custody in the lower earth were to be liberated, they had to be prepared to receive the influx of good and truth from the Lord, for they were to pass through the midst of hell. So when you read that, your initial response, if it's like mine, is that it's talking about some kind of event that went on in the past. Like, that's your first take, right? So I just want to use this just as an example of what the reading is dealing with. So what needs to happen here is we have to see this in terms of state. And it's not a state belonging to some other people or persons. It has to do with what's happening spiritually for everyone. You know, like, this has application for everyone. Otherwise, why else would it be stated? It has to have application, right? So if I say to you, like, if we talk about the Lord's coming as the opening of the word as to its spiritual sense, then this becomes very meaningful so far as our work is concerned. Because we are held in custody in the lower earth of person, place, time, and space until the Lord comes, or until the word is opened as to its spiritual meaning, by which we then have something we can apply to our life. So this is how liberation occurs. And that opening of the spiritual sense is what strengthens and supports us to pass through the midst of hell, or to deal with what arises from proprium, because proprium is hell. Like, that's what it is. That's what it's talking about. So, you know, we're thinking about things not from events, but in terms of states. And then it becomes something living in the here and now. So the whole thing with the Passover and all the instruction and the emphasis on roast with fire, you know, you're not to carry over anything that remains, you're to burn that. So what you have there is this instruction about preparatory states can't sustain you once you're in the state to which you've been prepared for. So preparatory states prepare you, but you can't still be in a state of preparation if you're having to walk out of Egypt. You have to walk out of Egypt, right? So you can't rely on past states. Now, the irony is, of course, is that the whole Passover thing becomes a tradition. So it becomes something we seek to preserve. You know, so the very text itself, in its explanation of things, has been inverted. Like, it's just remarkable how the thing it's instructing against, if you like, actually becomes a thing that comes into play. And, of course, that's also part of the process, because it's addressing a human tendency to have it all nailed down so that I don't have to face any difficulties going forward. But that's not how liberation happens, right? The preparatory states, which is, you know, the work you do on a day-by-day basis with the word, will bring us to a point where aspects of our motivations and the patterns that we've slipped into will have to be removed in order for us to step out. So the idea of obscurity is associated with that. You know, if everything was really clear, we just wouldn't progress. States of obscurity provide the basis for question and casting ourselves upon the Lord, upon the word, to try and find the way forward. So when you think about the doorposts and the lintel, this represents what is natural goods and truths of the word. The posts are the truths, and that which joins them together is the good, the lintel. And so what has to be applied to our understanding of the letter of the word, which are those natural goods and truths, is an interior understanding of truth. So when we bring an interior understanding that's arisen out of practice and apply it to the letter of the word, then the letter of the word is transformed. It's effectively making natural things as the ground for what is spiritual, which is described as taking natural things into the spiritual world where they are transformed. That's the idea. Your application of an interior or state-based understanding enables the word to then reveal the regenerative processes that these stories contain. So what you have there is a transformation of meaning, and this is what prepares the mind, you know, because what's this preparation for? It's for having to walk out through the hells. So it's the spiritual understanding of truths, or truths as they apply to the life of the mind, so that they are able to reveal the antics of the proprium as well as reveal the power of the Lord and the Lord's presence with us as we make that journey. You know, so access to the holy truth of the good of innocence, this is only available where there is a genuine work of self-examination and repentance, or a shunning of evils as sins against the Lord. If that's not happening, then this level is not available. So it's a work of examining the self to see what the proprium actually is, or to come into a place where there's an acceptance that what the word teaches concerning it is actually true, that it is the hell that we have to walk through and be delivered and liberated from, is this belief in ourself as an autonomous, independent being. So while this has its hold over our mind, we're trapped and we are infested. We're constantly in that struggle. So this instruction regarding the Passover lamb is one of how the process of liberation unfolds and what our place in it is. So the idea of self-examination, of course, is central to this, but also the idea of repentance, but repentance as metanoia, not repentance as self-flagellation, self-pity, all that. That's not going to help anyone. But metanoia is about turning away from. It's literally means, in the Greek, it literally means after mind, or that mind that arises after work has been committed to. And what are we having to turn away from? We're having to turn away from the idea that our sense of self is something real. This is the core problem. You know, you have to turn away from that. And the only way you can do that is through acknowledging that the Lord is the only self, the only life that exists, and that we derive our sense of self, a sense of self, from that inflowing life. It has nothing to do with us. We are not the source or originators of that feeling of ourself. And so this is what metanoia is about. It's about turning away from that and turning to the Lord. Because while we look to ourself, we are looking away from what is heavenly. We're looking to what is of hell to direct and guide our lives. So the need to turn away from the belief in ourself is the bitter pill. It's the bitter herbs that are present in temptation. It does not feel right to the natural man. And that is the man we have been embedded in as ourself. So this is why adherence and a commitment to the word, despite how we feel, is absolutely paramount in order for this journey to take place.